Charger Shida Hridas Takuki, Day. Frames of the Hosh Krishna Chaitan, the Prabhupada, and the Shri Advaita Gadadhar. Shiva Shani Gaur Bhaktarinki, Day. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopakinath, Sham Kumra Takunigiri Gurutanki, Day. Vrindavan Tanki, Day. Amadip Tanki, Day. Jagannath Kuriki, Day. Ramamaiki, Day. Jamanamaiki, Day. Kusi Deviki, Jai, Bhakti Devi, Jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrindaki, Jai, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. Go Premanande. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 10, chapter 31, text 40. Yopayati Shanair Maya Yoshiv Deva Vinirmita Tam Ikshaita Atmano Mrityum Shanaihi Upam Ivavratam Yopayati Shanar Maya Roshit Deva Vinirmita.
Roshit Deva Vinirmita.
Tam Ikshetatmano Mrityum.
Tam Ikshetatmano Mrityum.
Janai Kupam Mivavratam.
Janai Kupam Mivavratam.
Ropayati Shanar Maya.
Ropayati Shanar Maya.
Roshit Deva Vinirmita.
Roshit Deva Vinirmita.
Ikshetatmano mrityum.
Ikshetatmano mrityum.
Janai kupam evavritam.
Janai kupam evavritam.
Yopayati shanay maya. Trinai kupam evavritam.
Yopayati sadamaya.
Yopayati
sadamaya.
Yoshiteva vinirmita.
Trinai
kupam evavritam.
Yopayati
sadamaya. Yopayati sadamaya. Yoshideva vinirmita. Tamik shetapano mrityum. Bhagavatam. Ladies. Yopayati shanayamaya. Yoshideva vinirmita. Tamikshetatmano mrityum. Trinai kupam evavritam. Yopayati shanay maya. Yoshiteva vinirmita. Tamikshetatmano mrityum. Trinai kupam evavritam. Ya
Shihu
Upayati approaches Shanaihi slowly Maya representation of Maya
Yoshit
woman
Deva
by the Lord Vinirmita created Tam her Iksheta,
one must regard.
Atmanaha,
of the soul.
Mrityum,
death.
Trinahi,
with grass.
Kupam,
a well.
Eva,
like.
Avritam,
covered.
The woman, created by the Lord, is the representation of Maya. And one who associates with such Maya by accepting services must certainly know that this is the way of death, just like a blind well covered with grass. Purport. Sometimes it happens that a rejected well is covered by grass, and an unwary traveler who does not know of the existence of the well falls down, and his death is assured. Similarly, association with a woman begins when one accepts service from her, because woman is especially created by the Lord to give service to man. By accepting her service, a man is entrapped. If he is not intelligent enough to know that she is the gateway to hellish life, he may indulge in her association very liberally. This is restricted for those who aspire to ascend to the transcendental platform. Even 50 years ago in Hindu society, such association was restricted. A wife could not see her husband during the daytime. Householders even had different residential quarters. The internal quarters of the residential house were for the woman, and the external quarters for the man. acceptance of service rendered by a woman may appear very pleasing, but one should be very cautious in accepting such service, because it is clearly said that woman is the gateway to death or forgetfulness of one's self. She blocks the path of spiritual realization. Om Jnana Tumirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadabhayam Tathati Shapadatikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapadakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Shagrajatam Shahagana Raghunatam Vitam Stam Sativam Sadvaitam Savatutam Parishanya Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shahagana Bhavita Sri Vishakan Vitamska He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Vandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tata Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhan Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kong tugubhyashka kubhasindho vyayevacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnadebhyo namo namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashtari Guru Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Yopayati Shanayar Maya Yoshit Deva Vinirmita Tam Ikshetatmano Mrityum Trinay Kupam Vivavrata Ya Upayati, Ya means she. That's the woman described in the previous verse, the attractive woman who's described as Pramada. Pramada means one who creates craziness. Pramada, yes. One who drives a man mad. Pramada. Beautiful woman, attractive woman. Shanai Maya. Yoshit Deva Vinirmita. Ya Upayati Shanai. She approaches slowly. Shanai means slowly. It's not that she sees you, throws her arms around you, and says, let's have a torrid affair. And then you can marry me and work for the rest of your life. Slowly, slowly. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, first she pretends she's not interested. According to an authoritative book on body language, here's one device. You're not looking at her. So, furtively, the famous sidelong glance. While you're not looking at her, she looks at you and keeps looking at you and keeps looking until you get the creepy feeling that somebody's looking at you. Then, because you get this feeling she's looking at you, you sort of turn and look toward her. And that's when she turns away. And if it's done right, she turns away with a certain gesture that it, what are you looking at me for?
And that, of course, creates further interest. Now that she's turned away, he's totally confused. This is what's known as, in hypnosis, as the confusion technique. Now he's confused. Was she looking at me or wasn't she looking at me? I thought she was looking at me, but now I was looking at her. But she... Now he's totally bewildered. He doesn't know what's going on, except that his mind is now drawn in to thinking about the woman. Was she looking at me? Wasn't she looking at me? Was I looking at her? You know, like Lord Brahma, after he'd stolen the calves and came back, were the cows here? And then they've been taken away when I go back? So, confused. So Shanai, slowly the woman attracts the men. One of our ISKCON teachers of young ladies confided in me that at a certain age, the girls discover that if they move a certain way, if they dress a certain way, they can melt a guy down. And that power becomes a source of fascination for the girl. And so, you know, like Draupadi's mantra, she has to use it. Doesn't have to, but it's attractive to use. And so it's practically ubiquitous, that is, all over the world, that women will act in a way that's attractive. It's just their nature. They're deva maya, deva vinirmita, constructed by the world's greatest expert, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who says, mama maya duratya. My maya, my illusory energy, is practically insurpassable, because I do a really good job of constructing it. Particularly in the form of woman. Someplace in the second canto, I think, it said that Lord Brahma, after creating so many things, saw that the material energy wasn't sufficiently manifest, and therefore he created the form of woman to finish the job. So the woman is naturally made in such a way that she'll be attractive to men, and she'll act in a way that will be attractive to a man. Even if she's chaste and shy, that will be attractive to a man. How chaste and shy that girl is, that will be attractive. Women are by nature attractive, full stop. Because Krishna made them that way. So Shanai, Maya. Maya means that which is not what you think it is. Illusion means something that you see which is not what you think it is. So yopayati Shanai, Maya, yoshiteva vinirmita. The woman who slowly attracts one. Tam ikshetam. One should see in this way. Ikshetam. Atmano mrityu. As death. And not just ordinary death, but atmano mrityu. Death for the soul. Death of this body, that's inevitable. What is that? Jatasihi dhruvam mrityu. For one who is born, death is certain. But this is atmana mrityu, death for the soul. Yeke chatma hanoja, the killer of the soul, is mentioned in Isha Upanishad. How does one kill the soul? The soul is described. Nitya shashvatoya, it's eternal, it's everlasting. But how do you kill the soul? You kill the soul by identifying it with the material energy. You kill spirit by identifying it with matter. Soul is eternal, soul is full of knowledge, soul is full of bliss, but matter is temporary, matter is subject to destruction. Matter is a source of misery and covers knowledge. So when the soul identifies with matter, then it's practically killing itself. Or if you can get the soul to identify with matter, then you're killing the soul. Atmanomritya. And how does the soul identify with matter? By association, attraction between man and woman. Sriya pumso maitani pavameta tayor mito hridya grantama atab griya kshetra sutta apta apta mritta viptai janasya mohoda mahapanyata. The man and woman are attracted, and when they unite in sexual intercourse, then Pritya Granta, there's a tight knot that's tied in the heart. And then they want a place to stay together, they want property, they want money, they want a social network. Janasya Mohoyam, and in this way, bewildered, one thinks, I am this body, and this is mine. This is my wife, this is my property, this is my that. Therefore, Prabhupada mentions, it's in Transcendental Teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, that Maya begins when you see a girl and you think, she's nice. Sex attraction. This sex attraction is the cause of material existence, or it's the binding force of material existence. And therefore, Lord Kapildev is advising, see with this vision. When you see an attractive girl, slowly coming forward to offer service, see your own death approaching you, your spiritual death. Atmanomritya. Iksheta, one should see in that way. Maya is approaching you, trying to kill my spiritual life. Trinaya Kupam Vibhavrita. The attractive woman is described as being like a blind well. A blind well is a well that's out there in the field and covered with grass. Trinai Kupa, a well with grass covering it, avritam, covered by trinai, grass. An ordinary well is dangerous. You might fall in the well, but a well covered with grass is super dangerous because you don't know it's there. You think that it's just ground, but actually it's a well. And wells around here, real wells, are deep. They go way down to where the water is. And if it's out in the field and you fall into it, no one's around, no one knows that you fell in the well. They go out looking for you when you don't come back. Hours later, they send someone out, and you're gone by then. You're crying, help, help, and no one's hearing you, and you're lost. So that's the blind well. The unsuspecting person, the person who doesn't know it's there, just falls straight through it. There's just grass there, there's no ground, there's nothing substantial. Just a little bit of grass covering the well, and he falls down. So Lord Kapildev very graphically and strongly presents that this is what you are thinking you're going to enjoy You're naive. You're a fool. You're a fool. You're naive. You think, oh, here's something for my enjoyment. You don't know what's coming. You don't know what's there. Here's what it really is. You're in Maya. You're thinking it's something that is totally not. You're thinking it's ground when it's a well. Just like that Duryodhana, he got bewildered when he got to the palace of the Pandavas. Where there was water, he thought it was land. Where it was land, he thought it was water. He got confused. So Kapildev says, you're naive. You think, here's a nice, attractive girl who's coming to do some service for you. How nice. And you don't see that it's your spiritual death that's approaching.
Ya upayati shanayar maya yosha deva vinirmita.
Prabhupada explains, it's through service. This is a particular danger that the woman is made in such a way as to serve. To serve. And when she comes forward to do a little innocent service, the man becomes attracted. But now there's a debt. When there's an exchange of, when there's service offered or service rendered, there's a debt incurred. If I do something for you, now you feel, or I'll make you feel, but actually you should feel, now I have to do something for him. Human relationships are full of this, where they have, what is it called? There's a technical term for it in sociology, but like an account, essentially, where I've got a service account with you. I've done this much for you, and now you have a debt to me. I owe you a favor. You owe me a favor. I did this for you. So it's understood, even if it's not written down, that I've done something for you. I'm a favor account. It's the favor account. I've done you a favor. Now you owe me a favor. The more favors I've done for you, the more favors you owe me. And that's how it works in politics. Politicians owe favors to one another. Friends owe favors to one another. Anyone who's rendered service, who's received service, owes a debt to the person who's rendered the service. That's natural, and that's what makes for human relations. So here, the woman slowly, starts to offer a little service. And the man thinks, oh, that's nice. But he doesn't take into account that by offering the service, she's offering you the opportunity to become indebted to her. Just like with banks, they offer you credit cards, pre-authorized and all of that. Because by taking advantage of their service, you become indebted. To the point where eventually they take over your house, they take over your life. And it all started with a free offer of a pre-approved credit card. So the man, unsuspectingly, accepts the service. And now there's a debt. Now he feels she did something for him. If it's slow and subtle enough, he just feels, this is a nice girl, she did some nice service. May not even think about it, but it's there in his consciousness. Among so many girls, she's a nice girl because she did some service. And now he wants to reciprocate, or he feels that he ought to reciprocate in some small way. And now that he reciprocates in some small way, she also reciprocates in some small but slightly bigger way. And then he reciprocates and she reciprocates and it goes on like that, gradually increasing in size and velocity until the relationship becomes active, and what would you say, manifestly active. So one has to be very careful about that service.
Let's see. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, knowing the man's detachment, the woman shows her lack of desire and approaches him with the guise of service. She then becomes a source of trouble. The well is thinking, let men fall into me. Therefore, no one should ever go near that blind well.
If you know that someplace out there in that field there's a blind well, you stay away from the whole field. You don't know exactly where the well is, but you know someplace out there there's a blind well, you stay away from that area.
No one should go near that blind well. Whether one is completely indifferent, having bhakti, gyan, or vairagya, whether one is unconscious from madness or sleeping, or even dead, one should avoid women completely. This is the implication of the blind well.
Oh, Vishwanath Chakravarti, yeah, I hear the coughing. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is emphatic about that. One should be so careful. Even in married life, Prabhupada mentions that one should not liberally associate even with one's wife, so that life becomes all about you and your wife. This is one of the advantages of the joint family system. When several brothers are living together with their wives, or two generations, three generations, you get parallel societies, one male and one female, so that the men associate with the men and the women associate with the women. And it's not all about two people in constant juxtaposition with one another, dealing with their own minds, their own desires, their own counter-desires, their own whatever it is, in relationship with one another, in a relationship which is bewildering and entangling. It's restricted. The man had his quarters, the woman had her quarters, or the men had their section, the women had their section, and they didn't just spend all day associating with one another, or spend all of their time in association with one another. The family didn't mean husband and wife and children. It meant a larger circle of people, so that it wasn't just about the man and the woman.
So therefore, the association of men and women in the Vedic system is restricted. Brahmacharya, no association. Sannyas, no association. Vanaprastha, no sex. And grihastha life, restricted association. Not unlimited sex, not even unlimited hanging out. Limited association. Because that association is such a cause of bewilderment. Hitvatvapatam grinam antakulpam. Prahlad Maharaj also uses the same example, antakulpam, a blind well, which is atvapatam, killing one's spiritual life. One should be very careful about this. I had practical experience. The first, practically the first book that I edited
was third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam when back in 1968, maybe when it first came. And so I had the opportunity before the book was published to be reading this Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, and especially the teachings of Lord Kapildev. So I was a little bit informed. While I was working at ISKCON Press, doing typing and editorial work, there was one, at that time, young lady, who was also sometimes working at the press and sometimes doing pujari work at the New York Temple. And every day when she came in the afternoon, she would have come from doing the 4 o'clock offering to the deities, and she would bring me a little cup of fruit every day. Krishna prasada. Krishna's mercy. But because I'd been tipped off by Lord Kapildev, I graciously accepted that cup of fruit every day and gave the whole cup away. Never touched it. Because if I'd accepted it, that would have meant accepting service. And accepting service means accepting indebtedness. And accepting indebtedness means, okay, here we go. This is a practical, high magnitude problem in our society, that sannyasis accept service from women, especially young women, and then become indebted. There was one GBC man that wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada concerning some advanced ladies and suggested that they could sew for the deities of the sannyasis. And Prabhupada said no. He said that Prabhupada said it is not possible regarding their sewing for the sannyasis. It is not possible. So sannyasis should have, let's get it right here, word for word. Sannyasis may have no connection with women. Sannyasis become leaders of the society, one becomes guru, and service is offered. We make spiritual advancement by serving sannyasis, or senior devotees, or temple presidents, or gurus. But one should be exceedingly careful when the service is offered by a woman, because one becomes indebted. And this is not theoretical. We've lost a lot of men by this process, slow process, shanai shanai, where it starts off a little service, becomes a little more service, then it becomes gratitude, then it becomes reciprocation. Appreciation, gratitude, reciprocation. Dependence. Dependence on her service. Or a feeling that if she's not there, why is she not there? If she's not serving me, why is she not serving me? and it grows and it grows, and it becomes love and becomes disaster. There's a notable proverb that I saw someplace, that love is like an hourglass, with the head emptying in proportion as the heart fills. For those not familiar, hourglasses are those little glass things that you use for telling time. There's some sand up in the top, and you turn it upside down, and the sand comes to the bottom. So as your head empties, your heart fills. Or as your heart fills, your head is growing empty. That's really what's been said. That one becomes man from a dove. What intelligent person would say, yes, I want to work for my whole life. I want to work hard so that we can buy curtains. And everything else. One person seeing all the troubles that result from association of man and woman would want to do that. What intelligent person, having done it once and been burned within an inch of his life, would do it again? And a third time. This is called Maya. So, as far as possible, one should avoid this Maya completely. And if one is in an order of life where one has decided to avoid it completely, then one should avoid it completely. One should be very careful, not go backwards. Ha hanta hanta vishapikshan pakshanato visadhana. If one is serious about getting across the ocean of material existence, sandarshanam vishayinam atayoshitam chana. One should be very careful about associating with women and with men who are too attached to women, because they're contaminated. They're like a person who's contracted a communicable disease. It can travel from them to you. Men who are too much attached to women for sense enjoyment, if we associate with them, we'll catch it and become like them. So Lord Kapildev is being very strong here. He's issuing very emphatic warning for those who are serious about spiritual life, and we should not minimize the value of his instructions. We should avoid this tendency to mingle, men and women innocently mingling. That should be cut down as far as possible. It's not that, as Purushottam Raj was saying yesterday, that you can just empty the universe, there'll only be men and there'll only be women. But that association should be restricted as little as possible. And one should associate with Krishna by serving Krishna and chanting the holy name of Krishna. Be always engaged in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Sureshwar Prabhu. Microphone to Sureshwar Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Excuse my voice. Maharaj, since elsewhere in Prabhupada's books, he writes that man is also the form of Maya, a woman.
Yes.
A lady listening to this class, they wonder, where are all the tips? Where are all the tips? You mentioned the tips.
The tips for women.
Where are all the tips, the protection, the warning labels for us? It seems all one way. And they are getting warned about us without the warnings in the verses for us about the men.
Because men and women are different, the warning for women is one man. For women to do without the association of the men will be more difficult, because the woman is weaker and requires security and support. Men don't require anyone to support them. They can go independent. But women are designed in such a way that security is very important to them. Protection is required for them. And that means someone stronger, that means a man. In her childhood, it's her father. In her old age, it should be her sons. And in her youth, a qualified husband. So the Vedic literature, being very pragmatic and realistic, doesn't instruct women, stay away from men. It says, be married to one, and then stay away from men. Women are advised also to be chaste. That chastity is a form of protection for them also. A woman who's unchaste unnecessarily attracts the attention of every man on the block, and all sorts of trouble comes to her. So as the man is advised to be to avoid the association of women, women are advised to be chaste. That means also avoiding the association of men. Men, women are not advised. Just we're reading the ladies, when Krishna entered Dwarka, he was the number one alpha male, when he entered Dwarka, the women went up to the rooftops to see him. They didn't go down to the street to elbow out the men and mix. They were up on the rooftops. That means they maintained their dignity and chastity. I had a practical experience. We, on New Year's Eve, quite a number of years ago, we went out in New York City with the Sankirtan party to Times Square. Times Square is a sort of notorious public place where people are congregate in New York City. And especially on New Year's Eve, there's an illuminated ball that falls from the top of a tall building down to a lower part of the building. And when it reaches that lower part, then it's the new year. And then everybody who's already drunk, as can be to begin with, then they all blow horns or embrace their girlfriend or whatever it is that they want to do to celebrate the beginning of the auspicious new year. So we went out with a kirtan party, and it was a lot of fun, all these degraded people, and we chanted Hare Krishna, and we had a really good time. But we later found out that the ladies in our party had discovered that all the men in the neighborhood hoped to grab a little piece of them. So it was an inadequate, I think that was the last time we went to Times Square on New Year's Eve, because the women require protection. The women are not going to grope the men, but the men will go after the women. Women are attractive, and their attractive force arouses the attention and the aggressiveness of a man. Therefore, the modern way of life in which women dress super attractively and act super friendly and so on works against them. They're thinking, we're free, we're equal, we can do it, but what is actually happening? They're setting themselves up to be victimized. The men become more attractive, more aggressive, and then the women file a complaint, this guy, sexual harassment and this and that. But by their unrestricted position, they've become eligible to become victimized. I go to the Middle East every year, and I see that the Muslim ladies they always travel in twos or in threes on the street. Some children, some women, they're always traveling in twos and threes. They're covered head to toe, and they maintain their dignity. Everyone understands that these women are off limits. They maintain their dignity. And the Western tourist women come, and they're shrink-wrapped and see-through wrapped and every other kind of wrapped and unwrapped. And they just announce to the world that basically I'm a prostitute, and if your price is high enough, then I'm available. Rather, if you've got, if you can pay the price, then I'm available. No dignity. And they're simply used. And they don't become happy by being used and used and used. They go for therapy, they go for suicide, they go for abortion, they go for this or that. That's not happiness. And meanwhile, America's making propaganda about how women in the Middle East are so oppressed. Granted, there are instances of oppression, but the basic cultural principle is not different from the Vedic cultural principle, that women should be, their dignity should be maintained, or they should maintain their dignity, and the men responsible for them should also see that their dignity is not violated. Then what happens? Then they're happy. It will all be over. There'll be no more. If everyone takes this advice, there'll be no more marriage, there'll be no more sex, and there'll be no more human people, human civilization. It'll all be over. But that's not going to happen. Yes.
Practicing Vaishnavas was when we are...
Now, slower and into the microphone directly.
Hare Krishna.
That's good.
Maharaj, when we are practicing right now Krishna consciousness, and there may be many great Vaishnavas who may be as a service accepting service of like sannyasi, etc. A service they may accept, or temple presidents, etc. So what should be our attitude while seeing them? Because we may offer it them also.
Temple presidents, sannyasis, we may see them offering service, accepting service from women. What should be our attitude? Well, your attitude might be better them than me.
This is the
you. If you're those who are looking for spiritual masters or spiritual guides, you might note it. You might note it that I'm taking instruction, I'm attracted to this person, he gives nice instructions, but he accepts a lot of service from women. You might take note of that. And you would not be unreasonable or foolish to take note of that. We see the instructions. It's before accepting someone as guru, one should observe him for 1 year, right? What are you observing? How he dresses? One thing you're observing is, is this person associating intimately with women? Is he accepting service from women? If he's accepting service from women, under what conditions, under what circumstances, to what extent? One woman a lot. That's a flag. Some sannyasi, and he's got like a number one follower who's who's female and who does all this laundry for him, and there's the secretary and is, you know, this and is that. You might wonder, and you might be justified in wondering. If it really looked bad, you might be justified in going to one of his friends and saying, I am concerned about this person, such an important person, responsible person, and looks like he's pretty close to Krishnadasi. You might even be concerned to the point of raising the alarm, which might be a very kind thing to do. What you wouldn't do is get on your computer and start typing out a message on the internet, unless you really want to be a rude and uncultured person who doesn't know how to act, what to do and what not to do. But you might go to the appropriate people and say, looks like we have a problem here. How's that? Otherwise, you know, it's a small thing, just kind of note it and say, all right, Hare Krishna. And we see that even advanced people sometimes accept service, but with great care. Srila Prabhupada accepted service for the ladies, but he was very careful. Yes.
Thanks. Maharaj, from that verse, we see that a couple of days in the previous verse, it was saying that if the woman is attractive, that one who aspires to reach the culmination of yoga and has realized his self-directed in service and to me should never associate with an attractive woman. And for such a woman is declared in the scripture to be the gateway to hell for the advanced in the body. Why am I asking you that? It seems this particular woman is loose. And
it seems what?
Loose. This woman is loose, like you were describing that.
It doesn't say she's loose. It says she's attractive.
Because why am I asking you that? That according to Prabhupada, in the Vedic times, for a man to get married, they have to have made an arrangement before. Unless if somebody is practicing as a brahmacharya who's taken care of by a guru, then they would not. Then for them, yes, if a woman is attractive, then he could be attractive from outside. So then the classical woman described here is probably a loose woman. So I'm asking that much.
It's not stated in the previous verse that a loose woman.
No, it says attractive woman. So then
attractive,
you,
not
yeah.
Attractive and loose are not synonymous.
When
attractive
say,
means attractive, and loose means loose.
Then what does it mean? Explain what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that in the second verse that comes, that you were explaining that she first looks at you, and
that's not even loose.
Yeah.
Women by nature, they look at men. It's not ultra loose.
No, by loose means that she's not taken care of by parents or by brothers or by someone.
No, even she's taken care of. Of course, yes. I mean, even first thing is attractive. Maybe she's chaste as ice. But she's attractive. She's not lusty, she's not doing anything, you know, she's not on the prowl. She's just attractive. That's already a problem. That's what Kapilavin is saying. He's not saying a loose woman is a problem. He's not saying that a woman who's on the prowl is a problem. He's saying a woman who's attractive is a problem. Previous verse. That she's attractive is a problem. For one who's trying to get free from the material energy, not anything wrong with her, it's him. He's got a mind, and the mind is attracted by the beautiful woman. That's a problem. It's not that she's evil or acting improperly or unchaste or anything else, it's just that she's attractive. That's the problem. Clear?
Yes.
I appreciated the fast, but it seems that our movement in some areas, I'm not saying everywhere, is going through a phase of the conservatives and the liberals. In some areas, this kind of thinking will be seen as backwards.
Well, I can't say. Why Lord Kapila, if you think that Lord Kapila is backwards, what does that say about your thinking?
Maybe. But I'm just saying, in some areas...
Well, what area is that? That area where people think that Lord Kapila Dev is backwards. Must be a pretty backwards area.
I've even heard from sannyasins. I mean, of course, America is a different place than India.
America is a very different place.
You know, a grow up, a movement's growing, and we have to be more liberal to attract more people. This kind of
how many sannyasis and gurus have we lost because they were too strict in their about their association with women? Let's be real open about it. Name one. Be real open. We invite you. Name one sannyasi who's fallen down because he was overly restrictive in association with women. In America, or in India, or any place else in the world. Name one guru, sannyasi, temple president, senior devotee, junior devotee, anyone who's fallen down because he was too strict about association with women. And if we wanted to go the other way, we won't go the other way, and we wanted to name those who'd fallen down because they were careless, you know, we'd be up in the 30s, 40s, and 50s within 10 minutes, within 5 minutes, right? So where is the problem then? Is the problem that we're being too loose, too tight about association with women? We're avoiding them too much? We're not mixing enough? We're not being free and liberal enough? Is that the problem? Is that why we've lost so many valuable men? Is that why whole areas of the world have just seen their book distribution go from here down to there? Because people were too restrictive about association with women? Or is it the other way? Right? Yes.
Thank you very much. This is... I've heard, I want you to comment on this, I haven't heard of a scriptural reference, but if you accept service from anyone and you don't return that service, that debt forces you to take birth again, to come back, to pay that debt?
I haven't heard that explicit statement, but service creates debt. If we accept service from anyone, from a man, from a woman, from a child, from a dog, accept service, then you've got some debt.
It's not the cause of rebirth if you're not paying the debt.
If you're Krishna conscious, then your debts are dissolved. We all have debts. We have debts to demigods, we have debts to other living entities, we have debts to our parents, we have debts to the great sages. We have so many debts. But all of those debts are paid when one takes shelter of Krishna. But if we don't, then we have, how many debts do we have?
But if we accept something on a personal level and don't use it as a form of devotion and service, that becomes a debt.
That becomes a debt. We accept those who are accepting service and keeping it. You're accepting service and keeping it for yourself, now you're indebted. And not only you're indebted, but you've misdirected that service, because our job is not, I accept service work for myself. I accept comfort for myself. I accept facility for myself. Our job is that I engage Krishna's energy for Krishna. So we have to be very careful about that and not misdirect Krishna's energy in the form of money, in the form of service, in the form of anything. It should all be directed for Krishna's pleasure, not for our pleasure. Otherwise, we're definitely going to be looking at another.
knowledge is power.
A little slower.
Knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power.
Yes. And I know this information that Kapila Dev is given is not only power.
A little slower.
This information that
there's Kapila Dev. Reformation.
Information.
That's why you have to speak more slowly. I can't decode it unless you speak slowly.
That Kapila Dev is giving us is powerful. It's also transcendental.
Yes.
How can the attractive woman use this to her, you know, for her benefit? How does she?
How can women use this information to their benefit? Well, first of all, they can reverse the information and understand also that material attachment to men will also be a source of trouble for them. Ultimately, men and women have to be attracted to Krishna. And Lord Kapila Dev explicitly says that. But the woman who looks upon her husband as the provider and the source of children and so on, and gets all wrapped up in, oh, my husband, my husband. She's also bewildered. So finally, we're meant to be attracted to Radha and Krishna. And that's why this is the third canto. Krishna's activities are going to be presented in the 10th canto. But to understand the 10th canto, we need to understand these instructions of the 3rd canto. By understanding what Maya really is, what the material energy really is, what sex attraction really is, what sex enjoyment really is, what material existence really is, we become purified. And when we're purified, then we become eligible to understand what is Radha and Krishna, what is the 10th canto. So that's meant for everyone, men, women, doesn't matter. Otherwise, we'll hear about the activities of Radha and Krishna, we'll think it's something like what's going on in this material world. And it's not. Oh, there's some messages. Death threats? No, that's it. This verse is so discouraging for us. This is Rasapriya and Bhande. How to overcome this and perform bhakti, being on the platform of soul, rather than think of ourselves as women, a degraded birth. Yes, why do you have to think yourself? This advice, first of all, this is for men. Don't be attracted to women. Women don't have to think, I'm a woman, I'm this and that. Think that I'm a servant of Krishna. This warning is being given for men. It's not being given so that women should think, I'm terrible, I'm awful, I'm incompetent to serve Krishna. Everyone should think, I'm spirit soul, I'm meant for the service of Krishna. But women also should know that they can serve their society, community, family, everything, by chastity. Women should know what it is that they do to men. They should already know, but if they don't know it by now, at least take it from Lord Kapila Dev. And know that it's not good. Materialistic society covers it, encourages it. You're expressing yourself. You're expressing your femininity. You're expressing your womanhood by being the great whore of Babylon. So we have a different culture where women become exalted by self-restraint, by dignity. In that way, they help the men in the society and they help themselves. There's an article published in a magazine, there's a feminist, I guess you could say a feminist magazine here in India called Manushri. And the editor, whose name is Madhuri something or other, I've forgotten, has written an article called Restraint as a Feminine Strategy, which is available on the internet. And although we might not agree with everything she says,
She has pointed out that by sexual restraint, women get power. We say knowledge is power, that you just heard. That women should know that by self-restraint, they get a position of power. And she gives many examples of how in power relationships within a family or within a community, women who've opted for self-restraint have thereby gained power. And you can think of Sita, how much power she had. The armies were mobilized for her. Draupadi, how much? Yeah. Chastity has power. It's a power position. And women don't want to be powerless. Women want to be empowered. By sexual looseness, one disempowers oneself, whether you're a man or you're a woman. So if you want to be powerful, you know, how can I be, I don't want to be discouraged. No, take it as an opportunity for becoming powerful. How do you become powerful? By serving the Supreme Powerful. Krishna says everyone is eligible for devotional service. It's not limited to men, women, everyone. Take it as a power position. If I were a young lady interested in spiritual life and came across this verse, class as one of my first introductions to Krishna consciousness, wouldn't it be nice? I could only hope to take birth as a man. How would you present this verse to a newcomer, female? Well, I just did. This may not be our introductory verse when we go out to the colleges, but everyone should understand the basic principle that we're not this body, that we're spirit soul. Therefore, if I'm discouraged, oh, you're talking about me this way, you're talking about, I'm not talking about you, that's about someone's body. You're not this body, remember? That's the first point. Whether I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm not this body. Only I have to act in a certain way because I have this body. I have to take into account that my body is there. But I don't think I am this body, and what's said about the body pertains to me. I'm spirit soul, I'm part and parcel of Krishna. What does this have to do with me? If you say that I'm fat, and you say that I'm thin, and you say I'm tall, I'm short, what does it have to do with me? I'm not this body. So I'm not a man, I'm not a woman. And actually, if newcomers hang around long enough to get it, they'll find that actually women are more empowered when they're on the platform of Krishna consciousness. First of all, on the platform of chastity, women who are chaste are more powerful than women who are loose. Full stop. Revolutionary concept for the West. But even mundane women, women who are not Krishna conscious, who are not Christian, who are not religious, this is another article that was sent to me, have, in the best colleges in the United States of America, have formed societies of women who want to be chaste. Because they see it as a power position. As a feminist platform. Not as a religious platform, not as a traditional platform, as a feminist platform. We are sick and tired of being exploited, and we are exploited because we're loose. And these guys want us to be loose so that they can victimize us. And we're sick and tired of it, we're going chaste. That's just women who are not religious, not belonging to a Muslim or a Hindu culture, you're just smart. So for women,
Chastity is a power platform, and Krishna consciousness is the highest power platform. If you want to be empowered and you're a woman, chant Hare Krishna. Two more questions. Oh my goodness. But we're also at 7 after. What do I do? I have a woman who wants to ask a question, and I can't be say no. Yes.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhupada advised all the men to see women as mothers. And as mothers, can we serve Vaishnav men?
Can we?
Serve Vaishnav men.
Can women as mothers serve Vaishnav men? The example is Sachi Devi. She was the mother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when he took sannyas, she was grief-stricken that now Nimai will leave. And as a mother, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said, what have I done? I've taken sannyas and neglected you. So now you order me. Tell me what to do. And she thought that for my own happiness, I'd like to keep you here. But I can't do that. Because I have to consider what's your happiness. I have to consider your purpose in life. So you please stay in Puri. She didn't say, you please stay at home with me. So she considered, that means, what was best for the spiritual perfection of her son. So the mothers of the brahmacharis and sannyasis, if they think that way, what will be the best for the spiritual welfare of the sons, that will be good. Maharaj, can we associate when we preach to one who is associated with women? It's a little, the grammar is throwing me, but basically when we preach, we associate with women or men who are attached to women. So we take some risk for preaching. But one should be careful while preaching also. It's not that the fuse is taken out of all the hand grenades when you go preaching. There's danger out in the streets. So one should be fixed up by chanting 16 rounds strictly, following the four regular principles, being always careful, and praying for the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Last question. At what stage of devotional service can one become free from influence by perverted love? On the stage of Krishna prema. When one reaches the stage of perfection, one is immune to the influence of perverted love. Haridas Thakur, Maya couldn't do anything. Prostituted the dead of night, all of her arrows just fell to the ground. Nothing worked. Because he was situated on the platform of perfection. Everyone who's situated on a lower platform than that should be careful. And even those who are situated on that platform are careful as an example to others. We have the example of Srila Prabhupada, who chastised his servant for allowing him to be alone with his 60, 70, our old sister for a brief interval. Prabhupada was that careful. Why did you leave me alone with that woman? That very stout, very old sister of his. Why did you allow me to be alone with that woman? That's how careful Srila Prabhupada was. And we're not on the level of Srila Prabhupada. Well, how careful should we be if we're serious about spiritual life and going back to God and serving Krishna?
All right, thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.